This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for our exit interview. And today we are going to be talking with the latest player voted out of the game. That is going to be Justine. She will be here in just a moment to talk about her experience here with the Vesey tribe and everything that went on with the Beware advantage and Cody's hat and much more in our exit interview podcast. Of course, we are going to be later on today recapping everything from episode 2 of Survivor. JD Robinson from season 41 is going to join me. Our patrons can be there live as we are going to record that later on this evening. It's my son Dominic's birthday today, so happy birthday to Dominic. After we get some dinner, I'll be talking with JD later on tonight. On Friday night, I will also be live for everybody at 6 p.m. Eastern when we get into our feedback show with Chantel Francis. If you have feedback questions that you want to get in for the episode, go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail to leave us your feedback messages. We love to hear from you. One other thing before we hear from Justine, big announcement. I want to say it here first before I post it on social media for all the looky-loos to hear about. Of course, we let our patrons know a couple of weeks ago that we are going to get together in person once again. And this time, we are going to the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C. I will be at the National Press Club on November 2nd for a live Survivor viewing on a Wednesday night, followed by podcast and podcast recap with survivors in attendance to talk about it all and get together with you. That is going to be Wednesday, November 2nd. Plus, we will have a after party hosted by, of course, the great Bryce and Wendell. Bryce and Wen presents the after party for RHAP Live, Washington, D.C., November 2nd at the National Press Club. Pretty nice place to be doing a live podcast. I don't know if they're used to slumming it with having a podcast come in and record there, but that's what we're doing. So should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see so many of you in person. For ticket information, go to robhasawebsite.com/DCTix. T-I-X. D-C-T-I-X. robhasawebsite.com/DCTix. All right. And with that, you can, of course, see this exit interview up on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Let's bring in my exit interview with Justine. Hey, Justine, Rob Cesternino, and very sad to see you go out of the game. How are you doing?
Hi, Rob. I am honestly doing fine. I thought that last night's episode was kind of like hilarious. I found joy in it, so I'm choosing to see it that way, so I'm fine.
Okay. Tell me, what was it? What was the part that you thought was hilarious, Justine?
The spider bit, because for multiple reasons. Everyone out there is equally afraid of spiders. No one enjoys spiders. Like, people don't go on Survivor and they're like, oh, I like hope to see a lot of spiders. No, like, that's absolutely not how it is. And so the fact that they compiled a bunch of scenes of only me complaining about the spiders, it was relatable because I do hate spiders and I will like put my stamp on that till the day I die. But it was funny to me. And they painted me as like this like girly girl that doesn't like to be around bugs and stuff. And people were like, wrong show. But again, no one goes on Survivor for the spiders.
Jesse, I'm going to back you up. I'm not a fan.
Thank you.
They're overrated, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know.
So
too many eyes, too many legs.
Yep. Yep. You know, I feel the way about spiders that Cody feels about salespeople.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so you hate me too?
No, it's about spiders. That's how I feel about spiders.
Oh, right. Right.
Yes. Okay. I have no problem with salespeople, but it seems like that for whatever reason, this tribe really seemed to have some bad experience with salespeople.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you know that in your line of work, it was so stigmatized?
Well, yes. Salespeople definitely have bad reps to some people, but that's also if you're a car salesman. Like if you're in software sales, like you're not a schemey, slimy person, or at least if you're a good software salesperson, you're not that way. And I could be wrong, but I don't think sales has ever been a death sentence to someone in Survivor. So I never thought twice of it when I said, like, yeah, I work in software sales. But in hindsight, I should have just said cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
you live and you learn. Yeah. I think that in 43 seasons, I don't think that has ever come up specifically about sales.
If I ever get invited to a returnee season, I'll just transfer to customer success or marketing or something.
Yeah.
It's like less intimidating.
Justine, we got to talk about everything that went on with the hat. Okay. So you're on the island. Cody, he's made this hat and now he wants to give it some flair. Did you think at all that that was sus, that he started asking everybody for their beads all of a sudden in hindsight?
No, because Cody was such a character out there. Like Cody is Cody. Like he was exactly in real life, like how he has been portrayed on the screen, except in real life, I did not think he was doing half the scheming. Mm-hmm. I said in one of my confessionals, I was like, I don't know if Cody's here to like, just for a kind of like a free vacation or if he's actually here to play the game. And he was definitely playing the game more than I thought he was out there. So I was fooled by that. But I mean, he's such a character where him creating a hat, like a perfectly weaved hat and then wanting to bedazzle it did not even strike me as weird for him.
Okay. So then what was your reaction when you found out that this was a mission that he was on to collect all of the jewels?
My mouth dropped to the floor because I think everyone on my season coming into this was like, how is the Beware Advantage going to work? Because if someone says a really weird, out of place, you know, line, we're obviously all going to perk up to that and be like, okay, that person definitely found something. So we knew that they had to change the Beware Advantage for our season. We just didn't know what it was. And like, I was like mouth to the floor shocked when I heard back at Ponderosa that that is how it worked for my season. And I was like, wow, like that actually is so cool. But hindsight is 2020. I hate that I gave him my beads. Well,
yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the plan that you had going in where that you put a vote on Cody because you felt like the votes were going on to NECA and you were concerned that NECA was going to play the shot in the dark. How confident were you that that was what was going to happen at the tribal council?
I was like 90% confident that I was safe. It wasn't until Cody said that thing about like, yeah, Justine, if you're here tomorrow, I'll make you a hat. And I could tell like NECA was being like overly smiley and happy. And I was like, she's acting really confident right now. And so it clicked for me. I was like, I think I'm going home tonight.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, me, Noelle and Dwight, we trusted Jesse at this point. We were like, we're just going to put all of our trust in Jesse. He's with us. Like we don't have to worry about it. And so in my little voting confessional, I say like, I hope everyone sticks to the plan. All four of us stick to the plan because we had a plan. That was our plan. But it turns out me and Noelle and Dwight were the ones getting played.
Justine, when you watched the episode back, were you surprised to hear from Jesse how much that he felt like that you were a threat to his game specifically?
Yes, I was pleasantly surprised to hear that because if I'm going to go down and get voted out, I will 100% take it because I'm a threat and for over any other reason, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get voted out because I'm like annoying or anything related to my character or because I'm like weak. Like I would 100% take like getting voted out because I'm a threat over anything else. So honestly, like I chose to like take that as a good thing that he said that. It stung a little bit that he said that I was the person he jived with least on our tribe because I actually really liked Jesse out there. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of a pleasant surprise for me.
You said in the episode last night that you have a really good lying face. Is that true?
I immediately turned to my fiance and I was like, is it bad that I said that? Mm-hmm. I was like really like second guess. I was like kind of spiraling after I heard that. I mean, I just have a straight face. Like I'm good at just like keeping my face in one facial expression, I guess. Mm-hmm. So if I am lying, I can just literally keep my face like this.
Poker face. Yeah. Okay. You seem to bond instantly with Noelle. Could you talk a little bit about the relationship you had with Noelle out there?
Yes. So Noelle and I hit it off like pretty immediately. It was an easy relationship to build because we're so similar in age. And on top of that, I think we both sensed that each other was competitive. I had no idea that Noelle was a Paralympian. She didn't tell us that. And so she told us that she was a lacrosse coach. And so I was still like, okay, this girl's athletic. She's going to be good at challenges. Like she doesn't want to lose either. And I said in my confessionals that didn't make the edit that she felt like someone who I would play sports with growing up. And the girls that were on my sports teams growing up were the girls that I was like closest with, the girls that I was friends with and the girls that I would hang out with most. And so it was a pretty instant bond for us.
So in the preseason, we previewed all of the tribes and we've said, okay, it seems like Justine and Noelle, I bet they're going to get along. And both of you talked about how, you know, working with the women. And that was something that was important to you. And really in all the other tribes that we saw, that the women, there was at least some talk of the women sticking together. Did you two at all ever hit it off with NECA and talk about that? Or was NECA off instantly with Cody?
That's actually a good question. Going into Survivor, I knew that there's only been like one successful all-female alliance, and that was Black Widow's Brigade. And aside from that, a lot of them just don't end up succeeding. And so I never went into it thinking like, oh, women's alliance. I knew immediately off the bat that like Cody and NECA were kind of getting close. And I also knew that they were targeting me because they didn't really make that much of an effort to talk to me out there. And so in return, yeah, I wasn't really trying to, you know, get to know NECA and like gain her trust and like talk game with her either, because I could sense that I was their prey.
Yeah. After the challenge, that there was a moment where there's some conversation about, okay, there was a missing puzzle piece that was still in the bag. Was there universally assigned blame as to what happened with that missing puzzle piece?
Well, I think you can see on TV how the episode went, that we immediately get back to camp and Cody is incentivized to say this because he's in an alliance with NECA, but he says, you know, any one of us could have made that mistake. We were all there. We all saw it. Like it's on all of us that the puzzle piece wasn't taken out of the bag. And so like, I think some people can choose to see it that way. For me, how did I see it though? If you're choosing to do the puzzle, if you're volunteering to do the puzzle and it's like, it's on you to be remembering those instructions and like you're carrying the bag and you drop it, like that's on you. Obviously we have a ton going on in our minds during this challenge. We're just like looking at all the other tribes, like where is everyone at? And we're not really allowed to help with the puzzle. If you're volunteering to do the puzzle, I think it's your responsibility to remember to take the puzzle piece out of the bag.
Yeah. Do you think that should have been a bigger factor in deciding who was going to go home?
I thought it would be. And, you know, obviously I'm guilty of the whole let's keep the tribe strong thing, as are a lot of people. You can see that on other tribes as well. Like I thought that should be, you know, a bigger factor in it. But honestly, seeing any woman go home again was not great. So whether it was me or NECA, I don't think it would have been pleasing for anyone to see. Mm-hmm. That means two women out. And obviously the whole keeping the tribe strong mentality means, okay, we need to keep boys in for longer because of their strength. So yeah. It is what it is.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about the relationship that you and Noelle had with Dwight. I think we heard about it a little bit more than we saw it. Just how close were the two of you with Dwight?
So Dwight was 100% in our circle of trust. And that's something that you don't really see on the episodes. And that's something that I even vocalized on my tribal council, because we didn't want them to know that Dwight was 100% with us. We kind of told him to keep playing the middle, because we want to get information from what the other alliances are saying and stuff like that. But no, Dwight was 100% with us. So when he lost his vote, that was the beginning of my downfall.
Yeah. If he had his vote, how do you think this tribal council goes?
It's hard to say, because obviously that would make 3-3. It's also hard to say because, you know, if Cody found that Beware advantage, like, who's to say that if Dwight had kept his vote that, you know, Cody would still have been able to collect all the beads. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. But one thing is for certain, that's if I knew that I was on the bottom, if I wasn't 100% sure that, like, me, Noelle, and Dwight trusted that Cody was, that Jesse was voting with us, I absolutely would have played my shot in the dark.
Can you talk a little bit about some things that we might not have seen in the first 5 days of the game at Vesey that would be interesting to us Survivor fans?
Honestly, like, some of the main things, like the shelter falling on us and then that somehow producing fire, I was like, I hope that makes it on there. Dwight ate a worm like 10 minutes into us getting to Vesey Beach. Like, we weren't even starving yet. And I was like, I double doggy dare you. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
He eats a worm. We also endured that storm and it probably lasted a good 4 or 5 hours. But they didn't show that, like, Vesey suffering, which was kind of a bummer. Cause it's like, okay, well, if they didn't show it on TV, did it really happen? But yeah, there was a lot that happened out there that doesn't make the edit, unfortunately.
Now, we did see back in the first episode that you were the one to get the fire going for your tribe. How meaningful was that for you to be the one to be able to get the fire started?
It was very meaningful for me because I was practicing making fire from Flint with paper towels in my Santa Monica sink for probably 2 months leading up to going on Survivor. I was like, I want to be able to make fire on Survivor. And the moment I did that, I looked up and I just remember Jesse, like, kind of like whisper shouting at me. He was like, you just made fire on Survivor. And I was like, oh my God, I did. It was definitely on my Survivor bucket list. I'm glad that I got to accomplish that. Obviously, I think it ended up positioning me as a threat, which is kind of annoying because I think that only happens for women on the show. If you come out too strong and you show your cards too early, it's like, mm-hmm. Ooh, you're a threat. But people like Gabler and Sammy didn't get that same, reaction when they made a fire for their tribe.
Oh, so, they're an asset. Yeah.
Yeah. They're an asset. Exactly.
Okay. Can you give us, before you go, maybe one, wild thing that Cody did that we didn't see on the TV show that you experienced?
One wild thing. I don't know if you want, I guess wild is one way to put it, but there are carvings on the trees out on the island, obviously from past Survivor seasons. Mm-hmm. And one of them said Kenya on it. And Cody read it as Kenny A. That it said Kenya.
Yes. That famous Survivor player, Kenny A.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're the ones that are dumb for thinking that it said Kenya. We'll never know.
Okay. Justine, very sad to see you go. I know you were a trendy winner pick. I thought you were going to go really far in the game, so disappointed to see you go out so
Thanks,
soon.
Rob.
But all the best outside of Survivor, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye.
Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Justine, not Kenny A, Justine, who had a really good attitude about the whole thing, did not seem bitter about the experience, had some good insight there about what was going on over at Vesey. And yeah, I really thought that she was somebody who was going to go very far. I really did like her profile coming into the game. And during the draft, she fell. And I said, okay, hey, everybody, what are you doing? Justine is right there. You let her fell too far. But I guess maybe that's what some people on Vesey Tribe thought, that, okay, this is somebody who we should be worried about. And ultimately, you know, somebody's got to go home. And so Justine is out on two episodes into season 43 of Survivor. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jordan Kalish is going to stop by and tell us about what has happened on this, the last week of September in Survivor history, as our exit interview podcast rolls along.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
All right, everybody. It's the favorite segment in all of Rob is a Podcast. Here, back with us. I'm going to hit record so we can go ahead and get the video version of this going. Here is Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. As we are recording this, we talked about last week how we thought that maybe by the time you would listen to the last podcast, that Aaron Judge would have hit 61, home run number 61, tying the real home run record, because we don't care about the steroid record. Mm-hmm. He has not done it yet, and as of this recording,
I recognize the Major League Baseball record.
You recognize the 73 Barry Bonds record?
Yes, that's
I mean, record. Aaron Judge has said that that is the record, but I think he's just trying to be diplomatic. But either way, he's going for the American League record. Mm-hmm. Which of the two leagues, I think
I recognize the record until impressive. Pete Alonso hit 64 home runs.
When Pete Alonso hit 64 home runs, you're not even going to recognize,
Jordan, are you going to be distracted during this?
Possibly, but I feel like I'm usually distracted during these anyway. So I think it's par for the course. I think that Aaron Judge might hit number 61 as we're recording this. And if he does, we'll give you a little play by play.
I don't have the Yankee game on.
Well, I'll give the play by play,
but I don't watch sports while I'm podcasting.
I usually don't either, but I have a whole different setup right now. I'm not even at my desk. I have a little snack table that my computer's on, and I'm sitting in front of my TV.
Maybe one time when the Mets were in the World Series in 2015, I think I might have had like an iPad next to the computer.
Yeah, that's fair, though. I mean, look, the Mets don't make the World Series all that much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not every day.
Yeah, not every day. Okay. All right, Jordan, week two of Survivor 43.
It's been a fun season so far. Do we have to record two intros for this like we did last week? Like, that was a great episode.
No, we pulled back the curtain. We pulled back the curtain because you already said it's Tuesday night when we're recording this.
That's true. But if you're listening to this on Thursday, so hello, you are in the future. Mm-hmm. I hope that we have made great strides since this moment.
Yeah.
A lot of progress in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Happy birthday, Dominic. Okay. And then Jordan. Yes. Let's get into it. This week in last week of September in Survivor history.
Let's do it. I'm gonna do something.
Killed it.
Thank you.
I was worried I was rusty after the offseason.
No, you did pretty well. I think we had the games last week, I think, were pretty tough. It was a lot to remember. Yeah. This time there's going to be it's a little bit less involved this week. I maybe went a little bit old school this week, and I have some dates for you about like when these episodes happened. I didn't do that last week because with the premieres, I cheat a little bit. I don't really. It wasn't really this week in Survivor history last week. It was like this week in Survivor premiere history. But that's special. The premiere is a special episode. Now we're episode two. The season is like, you know, chugging along, and we're ready to get back into what we used to do on Twitch. Yeah. Which I'm going to give you the date of the these episodes that happened in Survivor history. So we are going to go all the way back to one of my favorite seasons. I think one of your favorite seasons too. Survivor Pearl Islands from September 25th, 2003. Mm-hmm. 19 years ago, this past Sunday, they were pirates. Rupert was there. Everyone was there. So here's the question. Johnny Fairplay was famously sent to the Morgan camp to loot an item, where Savage labeled him a little passant. But this was not the first time that Drake looted Morgan. Who was the first Drake contestant to loot Morgan, taking a tarp and partially damaging their shelter in the process? The way that this is going to work, you're going to get 3 points if you're able to answer the question correctly without the multiple choice. Mm-hmm. If you need the multiple choice, you'll get 1 point. There is no penalty for a wrong answer. So even if you get it wrong, I'll still give you the multiple choice. You're going to need to get a total of, let's say you need to get, to win this quiz, let's say you need to get 4 points. I have two multiple choice questions for you, which means you need
between
to get
us,
one right with
like
the multiple choice.
I kind of feel like you should come up with the number before we get on the podcast.
I did. This time I did.
Okay. It sounds like you're kind of making it up on the spot.
No. Last week I did. This week I had the number in mind. It was three points with the multiple choice, one without. So if you get 4 points, you need to get two questions right, one with, one without. You're a winner. If you get a question wrong on this, though, you automatically lose.
Okay. Well, I believe that person was... I believe that person was Sandra.
So Sandra Diaz-Twine, two-time Survivor winner. As Aaron Judge steps up to the plate, looking to hit two more home runs to break Roger Maris's American League record. Sandra is correct. You start the game off with 3 points. Congratulations as Aaron Judge steps up to the plate. Again, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this, you probably already know what happened in this at bat. If people are going crazy, it means he hit it. If not, it means he did not. So that's a strike right down the middle from Jose Berrios.
Hey, okay. Nothing like getting play-by-play of a two-day-old baseball game in your podcast feed.
I think this is what people are looking for when they log on to Twitter. Look, they want to hear the exit interview, sure. They want to hear Kalish even more than that. And then even more than that, they want to hear Kalish announcing a baseball game as Jose Berrios's 0-1 pitch is low and outside. The count is 1-1. Okay. Well,
what pitch was it? Curveball?
It looked like a fastball, maybe a little bit of a cutter. I don't know if he throws a cutter. Had some cutting action away. That is also low and outside.
So did Sandra on the tarp.
Yeah, exactly. She unfortunately for the Drake, they could have helped her. Look, they could have helped Sandra take the tarp off the roof, and they were, no, Sandra, you do it yourself. And then the tarp broke. It's one person trying to take a whole big tarp, and that is low and inside. 3-1 count to Aaron Judge. Great hitters count here, and we are going to Survivor China. If you get this question right, you will win the quiz. This is going to be September 27, 2007, 15 years ago this past Tuesday. And again, you could even get it with the multiple choice, and you will still be a winner. And that is a pitch right down the middle, full count to Aaron Judge. Who was the first player of Survivor China chosen to be kidnapped, going from Zhan Hu to Fei Long until the next immunity challenge? They did the kidnapping a lot during Survivor China. This is a twist that I actually really like in Survivor. I wish they would sort of do this again. I mean, I guess with Shipwheel Island, you sort of get the interaction between the players. The kidnapping was fun. But who was the first player to be kidnapped? As Aaron Judge walks, once again, Roger Maris Jr. and Aaron Judge's mom looking on. They've had enough of these walks, Rob.
Okay. All right.
I won't be distracted for the rest of the podcast.
As someone walked from which camp to which camp? From Fei Long to Zhan Hu?
They're going from Zhan. They're a Zhan Hu tribe member got kidnapped by Fei Long.
Okay.
First person of the season to be kidnapped. And again, you can get a perfect 6 points here, but you just need to get it right. So even if you get it wrong here, you have another
shot. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. I'm going to say that it was Leslie.
Leslie is incorrect. That is not the right answer. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna fact check you just to double check I had it right, because there have been times in the past where I have
that's always important. You should fact check on the podcast.
Yeah. They going on kinds of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was correct.
Okay.
Okay. So here are the multiple choice.
This is not very confidence inspiring.
Yeah, but okay. Sometimes when I have like two tribes listed on here, I got to make sure that I have the right one. Okay. So here are the people that we have. We have A, Dave Cruiser, B, Jamie Dugan, C, James Clement, and D was Leslie Nice. You know it's not D because you just guessed D.
Yes. Okay. So... just ask the question one more time.
Yes. Who was the first player of Survivor China chosen to be kidnapped, going from Zhan Hu to Fei Long until the next immunity challenge? So okay. The Xianhu tribe member.
Boy, I'm trying to remember. I'm really having a hard time remembering which tribe was which. And I feel like that I know Ashley went and Dave also went pretty early on. I'm wondering if it was, maybe it was Ashley. I'm going to say Ashley.
So Ashley Masara. Well, that's not one of the.
Wait, I'm sorry. Jamie Dugan.
So yeah, I would have. I would have been more strict on that because if it wasn't multiple choice, but Ashley Masara was not one of the options. So not.
Jamie Dugan and Ashley Trainer. I feel like they're kind of the same archetype.
Yeah, Ashley Trainer, completely different Ashley that was on Survivor China, but I see what you mean. I think Jamie Dugan, a little bit more of a character. Also, the correct answer to this question: only two Xianhus were kidnapped during the season. It was Dave and Jamie. The other two people were Fei Longs, James and Leslie. So Jamie is correct. You have 4 points. You have won the quiz, and we have one more little thing for you.
Oh,
we're going back, Rob, to the verbal Rebus. It's happening.
Okay, is it Aaron Judge?
It is not Aaron Judge. Okay. It is a Survivor player who was voted out this week in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. I've had enough of Aaron Judge. I mean, it's not his fault. Look,
you don't think he's going to finish the season on 60, do you?
No, he's going to hit. Look, my prediction for weeks has been 64. I'm sticking with 64.
64.
He's, Barry Bond said on the K-Rod cast that once he gets 61, it becomes easy. Mm-hmm. And of course, Barry Bonds knows about making it easy to hit home runs. So, let's go to the verbal Rebus. This is going to be a Survivor contestant, not a baseball player. Even though baseball players have played Survivor, so I guess it could be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. So let's see what happens. We have... You want me to like do it clue by clue instead of reading the whole thing? It's kind of a long one.
Okay.
Okay. So the last name of the only South Pacific contestant who received at least one vote at every pre-merge Upolu Tribal Council, yet still made the merge.
That's very long.
Yes. So South Pacific contestant went to every pre-merge Upolu Tribal Council, got a vote, at least one vote at all of these tribal councils, but this person still made the merge.
Okay. Person who made the merge. So, I don't think it was Sophie. I don't think it was Albert. I don't think you're starting with the Strada. Edna Ma. I could see it being Edna or Ma. I don't know if a coach, I think coach would have been pissed if he would have got the, I don't think it was Rick. So, okay. All right. I'm going to just write down Ma for now.
So we have
okay.
Ma. So we have Ma so far. That might be correct. Plus Colby's brother's name.
It's not Mariano Rivera, is it?
It is not a Yankee player, but what is Colby's brother's name? Reed. Yeah, damn it, Reed. Minus the single letter that Johnny Fairplay wrote on the voting parchment at the Pearl Islands Final Four.
It was
he wrote
D,
one letter yeah. on the D. Yes, okay. Plus the official name of the Gen X tribe on season 33. Oh. It was not really called the Gen X tribe. It had a real name.
Yeah, F'd if I know. Okay, let's leave that blank.
Okay, minus Sarge's actual first name.
It was Lee.
Vanuatu Sarge, yeah. Plus the first letter of the starting tribe of San Juan del Sur's winner.
The first name...
The first letter,
of the starting tribe
okay. of San Juan del Sur's winner. I sort of had to stretch on this one, I'll admit.
Okay, I believe that was Hunapu. That was an H.
Plus San Juan del Sur's resident Broadway actor.
Another Reed.
Isn't that Josh? Is it Josh the Broadway actor?
They both were.
Okay, well, it's Josh, not Reed.
remember he was Spider-Man in Spider-Man the musical, Reed Kelly?
That's true. I did see that musical. I don't think that Reed was in it when I saw the musical. Yeah, it's not Reed. I actually almost went with Reed's ex-boyfriend, but that is, I'm giving you Josh because that you're right. Those could both be correct.
Yeah.
Minus Juicy Blank, the chicken from Cambodia.
Juicy Blank.
The name of the chicken.
Yeah.
Plus, and this is the last one, plus the first letter of the first name of Survivor 41's Abraham. This is a tough, this is not an easy verbal Rebus, maybe one of the harder ones that we've had.
Can you give me the pluses and the minus again?
Sure. So it is the South Pacific contestant.
Okay.
Plus Colby's brother's name.
Okay.
Minus the single letter that Fairplay wrote on the voting parchment at the Final Four. Plus the name of the Gen X tribe. Minus Sarge's actual first name.
Okay, hold on.
Plus
Gen X tribe. Okay. Yes.
Plus the first letter of the starting tribe of San Juan del Sur's winner.
Wait, hold on. Well, the Sarge's first name was also plus?
It was minus Sarge's first name.
Okay.
Plus the first letter of the starting tribe of San Juan del Sur's winner. Plus Reed's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Minus Juicy Blank, the chicken from Cambodia.
Yeah.
Plus the first letter of the first name of Survivor 41's Abraham. He went by Abraham, but Abraham is his last name.
And what is the first letter of the first name?
The first letter of the first name.
Is it Mari Takahashi? Is that what this is?
Rob, it is 100% Mari Takahashi. Okay. Oh, Edna Ma was correct. It took a long time to get there. It was a little bit of a stretch, but yes, Edna Ma.
Not the verbal rebus puzzle being a stretch.
I think that was the hardest question on the quiz, harder than the multiple choice. So yeah, Edna Ma was the Opolu contestant we were looking for. Damn it, Reed. We know Colby's brother. Single letter, Fairplay voted out Dara at the Final Four with Will and Sandra. The Gen X tribe was the Takali tribe, minus Sarge's first name, which is Lee, plus the first letter of the starting tribe of San Juan del Sur's winner. The winner, of course, is Natalie Anderson. The tribe is Hunapu. San Juan del Sur's resident Broadway actor / Reed's ex-boyfriend, that is Josh, minus Juicy J, the chicken from Cambodia. So it's Josh minus J, plus the first letter of the first name of Survivor 41's Abraham. Imagine if Abraham went by E.
Like an entourage character. Yeah.
I think that would have been good.
Okay.
Maybe he wouldn't have been the first one.
Jordan Kalish, you've done it again.
I have. I've done something.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan, where can people keep up with you?
People could keep up with me on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. I mentioned last week that Suri actually came down and hosted a little bit of a Survivor game that I played in. If you go to Suri's Facebook page, she has posted a YouTube link to some highlights from that game, which is very cool to see Suri posting something about me. Not really about me. I'm not really featured in the video. There's one moment where you see me losing a challenge to Alex Worsenhauser. So there was that. It's a lot of fun. It's a well-edited video. It has some good tribal council music behind it. And it's cool. Very cool that Suri's so into this live game world now.
Look, she's an amazing woman.
She got up off the couch and now she's doing it again.
Okay. All right, Jordan, we're doing it again next Thursday. Okay.
Yep. I can't wait. To the person whose exit interview you heard at the beginning of the podcast, you're still a winner in our book.
Yes. Thank you. All right, Jordan, take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish back here for this week in Survivor history. Aaron Judge did go on to hit his 61st home run, I think on Wednesday. So congratulations to Jordan for that accomplishment one day after he originally was hoping to see it happen. All right. Thank you so much for making history with us once again. Also, I mentioned at the top of the show, tickets for DC RHAP Live coming up for November 2nd. Go to robinswebsite.com/DCTix. Be sure to check out all the other Survivor podcasts coming your way in our Survivor podcast feed this weekend. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.